Can you conceive of a more sobering truth than that of hell? The Bible teaches that hell is everlasting torment of body and soul in the lake of fire, which is prepared for the devil and all who do not repent and believe in Jesus Christ, the only Savior. There are many who say that the judgment of hell and of everlasting penalty for sin is so enormous, so horrible a thought, that they could not conceive of a God who is capable of inflicting such a punishment. There are many who would say to us, "My God would never send a soul to the eternal torments of hell." Those who speak so do not know the reality of sin, do not know the reality of the God, the only God, who is holy. They do not know the reality of how enormous and evil sin is, and of how holy and pure God is. Those who would so speak do not know God, do not know God in His essential attribute of pure and spotless holiness. You see, it is not the doctrine of hell that is the point at issue. It is the truth of God's holy being and the nature of sin which is at issue. Always the truth at issue is, who is God? What is God? Always the point at issue is, who is man? What is man? What is sin? And the Bible is straightforward and true on those issues. God is the holy God. He is pure and perfect and infinitely good. And man? Man of himself is a fallen sinner. And sin is an infinite offense against the holy and pure God, which truly deserves everlasting destruction. The Bible is straightforward to tell you the truth, the reality. Why is hell a reality? Why is there a lake of eternal burning to which impenitent sinners shall go? Because of the holiness and justice of the living God. Because sin is enormous and it is committed against God. Because of the true nature of sin and the nature of an impenitent sinner. Get hold of this truth. The basic issue revealed in the Holy Scripture is not man's welfare, it's not man's happiness, and it's not man's rights. But the basic issue that is being revealed in the Bible is God and His glory. The holiness of God and the awfulness of uncovered sin call for the eternal curse of God in the fires of hell. Jesus, He is the one who taught this. He said, Matthew 25:41, that in the last day, the day of judgment, when He reappears to judge all, He shall say to impenitent sinners, "Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels." That is what the Son of Man said. When He comes in all of His glory, He is going to say to those impenitent sinners who stand before Him, He is going to say, "Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels." To deny the reality of hell is to deny the Jesus of the Bible, the true and only Jesus. Hell is to be separated from God. The impenitent and hardened sinner gets exactly what he wants, banishment from God. That is the loss that the damned have. When Jesus said that hell is to be separated from God, the idea is not that hell is the place where God is not. Psalm 139 says that if I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. But Jesus meant that hell is to be deprived of the glorious enjoyment of God and to have nothing but one wave after another of His holy wrath to roll over my head. It is to have God's heart alienated from me, to be hated of a holy God. It is to taste in the very center of the soul divine vengeance against my sin. God is good. That is what Jesus said in Matthew 19. There is none who can compare to Him. There is nothing that can make up for God. He alone is good, and the soul's good. Psalm 73 says, "Having thee on earth, there is naught that I can yet desire. If you have God, you have everything." if you have the true God, that is. You may be cast off by man. Your way on life may be very lonely. You may be distressed and filled with trial. But if you have God, you can sing and you can say, I walk with him and make his word my guide. But to be separated from the living God, from the blessed and the holy God, to receive his burning anger? Hosea 9 verse 12 says, Woe also to them when I depart from them. All peace is removed, all joy. There is unmixed sorrow. It is to be filled with horror and the anger of a holy God against you. What a horrible thing! When the creature made by the hand of God is separated from God, then only despair can seize that soul. That is why hell is called in the Bible outer darkness. Be afraid of living in any sense separated from God. Do not make friends who will draw you away from your God. Do not reach out for the job, for the money, and for the promotion, which you know is going to put distance between you and your God, which is going to force you to compromise on your Sabbath observance and the attendance of God's house on the Lord's Day. Do not put up walls of separation between yourself and your God by continuing in a sinful course, by willfully deceiving yourself, by telling yourself lies that your sin is only for a little time, and then when you're finished with it, you're going to put it away. Repent. Put it away now. Tremble. Tremble at the thought of any distance between yourself and the only good, who is God. We can be so concerned about losing things, worldly things, losing this friend, losing this possession, losing this money, losing this business account, losing this deal. But think of his words. What doth it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Think of these words. Depart from me, ye cursed. Then all those things that a man sought to substitute for God are utterly gone. The covetous person's money is gone. He cannot have that in hell to soothe him. The drunkard's bottle is gone. The fornicator's bed is destroyed. The philosopher's wisdom has evaporated. There is nothing left. Everything has vanished. And they are alone forever with the holy hatred of God whom they have offended. Jesus said that to be cast into everlasting fire prepared for his death, prepared for the devil and his angels, is to be forsaken and departed from God. He said that hell would be everlasting fire. I will not go into the question as to what kind of fire that is. The Bible uses stark language, repeatedly speaking of fire, of the fire that is not to be quenched, that is, it cannot be put out, of the fire that burns with brimstone, intense, heated fire, a lake of fire, an immensity of fire in which a soul shall swim. Fire is the most horrible pain that we know. What pleasure, what possession, what lust of your flesh, what amount of money could I offer you right now which would induce you to hold your hand over a lit candle, over a flame of a candle for 1 minute as it burned your flesh? What could I give you so that you would be induced to do that? Would you do that for all the wealth of the world? Would you? What pleasures of sin, what gratification of the flesh, what earthly possessions, what honor is worth an eternity in hell? Do you see the folly of sin? Hell contains greater torments than anything that could be found on earth. When the Bible tells us about heaven, it speaks to us of heaven as a city with gates of pearl and streets of gold. And we know that when the Bible speaks in those terms, it is presenting heaven as being a most excellent place. It is the most excellent of all places that we could conceive. When Jesus speaks of hell fire, we must understand by it something more than vehement, more than tormenting fire. Heaven is represented as a treasure, as a paradise, as a feast, as rest. And we know that those words are insufficient to express exactly what God has in store for all those who love Him and the glory there, so also the torments of hell represented in the idea of fire, a lake of fire burning with brimstone, those ideas are not sufficient to express the dread of falling into the hands of God as an impenitent sinner falls into those hands apart from Jesus Christ. Jesus said, "There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." And understand, weeping and gnashing of teeth without repentance toward God. Revelation 16, verse 21 reads, "And there fell upon men a great hail out of heaven, and men blasphemed God because of the hail." Their conscience, then, condemns them. They know they have sinned against God, but they will not repent. There is no repentance in hell. In hell, a person's attitude toward sin doesn't change. What an awful punishment, whose damnation, the Bible says, is just. It is an everlasting fire in the company of the devil and his angels. That is dreadful. Everlasting. No period to stop, without intermission and without end. We cannot conceive of that without horror. That is the evil of sin. The pleasures of sin are bought at a costly price. Brief moments of pleasure bring down eternal misery. This is the stark truth taught in the Bible. That is what sin is. Remind yourself of it. Sin is not a little thing. Sin is not something that is manageable. Sin is not something excusable. Sin is not justified. Sin is something so horrendous that it deserves everlasting punishment, which only God's Son could ever take away for us. What hatred God has for sin! How severe is His judgment! And remember, God does not punish more than justice requires. Flee to Christ. In Jesus Christ you see sin as an ugly and vile thing. Imagine to be with the devil and his angels. What horrible company. Revelation 20, verse 10. "And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever." In hell, one is bound up with the devil. He's bound up with the lion who seeks to destroy, with the serpent who hisses and spits his venom into a person's face. What a glorious thing it is for a Christian to have the company of the saints of Jesus Christ and of the holy angels in heaven. And what a terrible thing it must be to have nothing but the company of the wicked and of the devil and his demons. Will you join yourself to those who worship the devil? Will you follow the ways of those who follow the devil? Will you join yourself to them? The gospel call is repent. And by the grace of God, call upon the name of Jesus Christ and follow the saints in faith and holiness. Flee the everlasting fire. Do you tremble? Do you tremble because you take God's word seriously? Do you tremble because you know by the Holy Spirit that you're a sinner? Do you tremble because you say, "It's true, I violated God's law. I'm a sinner. I deserve such a death"? Then hear this testimony of God. The testimony of God to those who by grace, touched by His Spirit in their hearts, know their sins. Hear this testimony that now comes to you. Believe by grace in the Lord Jesus Christ. Understand that not your works can deliver you, not your ability to merit deliverance. Believe the free gift of God in Christ. Trust in Christ as the only one who can take away the hell coals that you desire, that you deserve. Jesus Christ was sent of God to bind up the eternal hell deserved by His elect, and to hold that hell in His hands, and then to extinguish it by pressing it to His bosom upon the cross and dousing the flames that we deserved with His own blood. Trust His righteousness. Follow Him in this world. Go to Him in prayer for strength. By the grace of God, repent and live a holy life. As great as the horror of hell is, and as strong as trembling can be in us over it, so the grace of God is greater to his people. Listen to Romans 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. Did you hear that, believer? There is no condemnation for you in Christ Jesus. Jesus has taken away our eternal hell. You might remember that John the Baptist in Matthew 3 and in Luke 3 cried out to his audience, "Flee the wrath to come." In part, he was speaking to the Pharisees. Those Pharisees did not believe that they had to flee. They said to John, "What are you talking about? We are the children of Abraham. We're righteous. Hell is deserved by those other people. Those people who can't keep the law as good as we do. Those sinners. But certainly it's not deserved by us." Oh, the blindness of self-righteousness. Let the word of God tear those blinders from our eyes and prick our hearts. No, you are not righteous in yourself. You cannot remove your sins by your own acts. Sin is an infinite thing, and it is an infinite wrong against God that you have committed. Sin is so heavy, so lasting in its vileness, that nothing can ever remove it from you. Your suffering for it in eternity will not remove it either. Only God's mercy can remove sin. The offended God must bring my sin to an end. He must kill my sin. My death must die in Jesus. And praise be God, it did. For the Bible tells me that mercy awoke, meeting justice at the cross, that righteousness and peace have embraced, and that they stand in full accord. God has shown mercy in the way of perfect justice. In mercy, he has given his Son to bear the place of his elect, to suffer their eternal hell. There is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Now the word of God is, flee. Get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city, said the angel to Lot when he came to take him out of Sodom. Do not look back. The angels, we read in Genesis 19, took him by his hand and led him out. In the book of Revelation chapter 18, there is this word of God, come out of her, my people, that ye be not partaker of her sins. Press toward Christ. Your time is very short. Are you going to go on in the way of that sin? Will you for 60 or 70 years live simply to pile up wealth and possessions as being an end-all and let your soul be poor? Will you come to lust and to greed today and say, satisfy me, give me my portion in this life? Will you entertain hatred and unforgiveness in your heart? You who have been forgiven so great a debt of sin? You who frankly could never pay what you owed to God? Is sin in your life, that pet sin, that ensnaring sin, is it that important? Is it that satisfying? Is it worth it? And are the difficulties of faith in Jesus Christ and of confessing his name so great? Repentance and forsaking of sinful friends, standing up for the Lord, you say that so hard in the light of what he has done for you? Eternal life, we must have it. There will be time enough to rest when we reach the other shore and sit down under the tree of life. Right now, the time is short. For the child of God, the Bible says, there is a race to run. There is a fight to be fought. There is a Christ to confess. There are sins to be battled. Flee the wrath that is to come. There is one argument that unbelief makes against the truth of hell, an argument that has cut me to the very bottom of my soul. It is not the argument that I have already referred to when people say that your God is so evil if he would ever send someone to hell. That argument does not move me. That's an argument that is ignorant of God. No, it's an argument which is ignorant of themselves and of their own sin. Anyone who would so argue does not know God, does not know God's holiness, and frankly does not know the reality of what their sin is. They are blinded to the horror of their own sin. It is a proud statement. It's not a pious statement. Your God is so evil that he would send people to hell? That's not piety. That's pride. Pride over one's own sin. Sin deserves eternal hell. But that's not the argument that causes me pain. But there is another argument that does. Let's put it this way. If it is true that hell awaits the impenitent sinner and burns right now with a fire that will never be put out, and you believe that, then why do you live as if it is not so? Why did you not speak to your neighbor of Jesus Christ and unfold to him the worthy name of the only Savior? Why are you so careless about your sins, as if, after all, they are of no consequence? Do you really believe that hell is real? We cannot tell from your life that hell is a reality. That argument hurts. Let that not be said about us, children of God. Let us take God's word seriously. Let us hold Christ by grace dearly. Let us thank God from the bottom of our hearts. Let's live for eternity, God's presence, and by his grace let us flee the everlasting fire, and by grace flee to Christ in faith and holiness. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we praise thy name for the great deliverance that is ours in Jesus Christ. Wilt thou now humble us, and wilt thou ever give to us that amazing and wonderful comfort that we are delivered only through Jesus. We shall not see death, but we shall live and praise the Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.